Well, welcome everyone to a special emergency episode of Why Should We Care About the Indo-Pacific? Jim, we haven't done this before, but this seemed like a good time to start. I'm Ray Powell in California. He's Jim Caruso in Arizona. Good evening, Jim. It has been an extraordinary and distressing 24-hour period in Seoul, Korea.
It has been. You and I have both lived through coups in various cases, but this is the situation, an important ally, a democratic ally. And frankly, it's been a little confusing. We're very happy to have General Chun welcome, be back with us to help explain it. General Chun, maybe you can tell us, well, maybe just what happened in a few words.
So last night at about 10:20 evening, Korea Standard Time, which would have been about 8 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, President Yoon came on TV. And everybody was expecting a talk about economics. Instead, he declared martial law. And it was a scary moment, even for myself. Now, he declared martial law because he saw the opposition's continuing attack against his government, to include impeachment of important ministers and civilians working for the government, and just recently trying to unilaterally pass a budget without bipartisan consensus. This has never happened in Korea. And so these unilateral actions, in his view, were a direct threat to democracy and freedom on the Korean Peninsula. And therefore, he concluded that this was an anti-social, anti-democratic, anti-Republic of Korea action, and that's why he declared martial law.
So
once he did that, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so when you say something that's anti-democratic, obviously martial law itself sort of rings as an anti-democratic act. And you mentioned yourself being pretty alarmed when it happened. I mean, this is not something that in the United States we've seen for quite a long time, a declaration of martial law. Are Koreans, what's their experience with martial law? And what was the reaction like amongst your compatriots?
Yeah, so again, is it undemocratic? That's in the eyes of the beholder, but I'll just leave it there. And going back to your question, so there have been about 10 instances where Korea had martial law, but this was in the 60s and 70s. And the last time was in 1978 when President Park Chung-hee was assassinated. And martial law in Korea is a mechanism to protect law and order. And I must remind you that we have a legitimate and bona fide threat from North Korea. North Korean agents operate here. North Korean sympathizers operate in South Korea. And they use every excuse to amplify the inequality in South Korea and to destabilize South Korean society. So martial law serves a purpose in making sure that we have a mechanism where we can, as a last resort, fight that kind of challenge. So that's why that system is there. And so President Yoon, although I would not agree with the declaring of the martial law, except for a few technical things, he did conduct himself in the realm of the legality requirements of Korean law.
It was amazing how quickly Parliament managed to get it together and unanimously vote against his action, vote to lift martial law. We find it a little surprising. He seemed to have made no effort to gather a political force behind his move, either among his own party even. What do you think happened there?
So even before the opposition showed their opposition to martial law, the head of the ruling party, Mr. Han Dong-hoon, made it clear that he did not agree with the declaration of the martial law and that he found that it was not the right thing to do. So off the bat, excuse me, off the bat, within his own party, the president was facing resistance. And I don't know how to put this, but the logical thing that the president should have done is to circumvent what we see now. He should have occupied the National Assembly and prevent the National Assembly from coming together in the first place, which he attempted, but the soldiers did not act as forcefully as they could have, which is, thank God, I think the expresses the maturity of the Korean soldier. Anyway, that's one thing. And then other things like no curfew, the internet was still there so that everybody could communicate and live stream things. All the broadcasting companies were not touched. So all the things that you would do in a martial law situation were not conducted. So it's kind of it's a little bit not what you would do in a situation like this.
Yeah, I'm sure reminded of a book I once read about the Enron scandal here in the United States. And it was titled "Conspiracy of Fools," and in some senses, this sort of seems like, you know, an incompetent coup d'état in a sense. Or you may disagree with the phraseology there, but I am intrigued by your discussion about the soldiers. As a, you know, retired soldier yourself, you know, put yourself in the shoes of a military officer in the midst of this drama. I mean, what kind of pressures and what kind of guardrails are up? What guideposts do you follow if you're in the Korean Army and you're called upon to stand in the middle of this huge political contest between the president and the parliament?
Yeah, so I'm not 100% sure that the soldiers or even their leadership were told why and where they were going until the last minute. So this was a really dangerous situation. These soldiers were sent there. They were told God knows what. And if any one of them, there was about 100 or so at the National Assembly. If any one of them was experiencing a bad day and had a beef to grind, you can just imagine what could have happened, you know. So they were tempered. They tried to follow orders as best they could, but they did not cross the red line that they themselves knew that must not be crossed, which is injure civilians.
That's a great credit to the Korean military as a whole, that they recognize their higher duty. You
yes.
mentioned at the beginning the risk South Korea faces from North Korea all the time. What does this situation mean as far as what North Korea sees in the South? What do you, are you concerned they may take additional action in this time of instability?
It's a great propaganda item for the North Koreans, I can tell you that. You know, so whatever the opposition says, whether it's right or wrong, the North Koreans will use it. Typical communist tactics, which is you take a little bit of truth, you exaggerate it as much as possible, and then at the conclusion, make a big leap saying that, you know, we should kill all the right wingers or whatever. And so it'll be a propaganda issue for the North Koreans. And the North Koreans are pretty good at it, too, you know, using propaganda. Hopefully they will not try to destabilize the Yoon administration physically. Just because they think Yoon is weak. Yoon administration might be weak, but the Korean soldiers are not weak. And we have the alliance with the United States and other UN participating nations here. So that provides a degree of stability that that can overcome these kind of challenges.
So after, so as I understand it, and you can please correct me on this, every parliamentarian who was able to physically enter the building, 190 of them, voted against or voted to repeal, essentially, martial law. And as I understand it, just from the reporting, even a simple majority would have done, but it was unanimous. And then, subsequent to that, the president came out and declared himself an end to martial law. Was martial law ended effectively when the parliament declared it ended, or was it not ended effectively until the president declared it ended?
It only ended when the commander-in-chief, the president, said that it was ended. So although the National Assembly voted that they will not support martial law, it still had to go through about 3 hours for the process to occur, where the president came out and said that he will honor the results of the National Assembly vote and declare that martial law is no longer effective.
And then, just so I understand, as again, following the reporting, it seemed like the soldiers involved essentially stood down after the parliamentary vote. So in some ways, the effort to enforce martial law as it applied to the assembly seemed to have sort of dissipated in some manner, even before the president came out. Is that correct?
Yes, that in reality, yes. So when I say that it was lifted after the president declared it as such, that's just legally, but in all practicality, once the National Assembly voted on that, it was de facto over. There was concern that the president would not agree with Parliament. Now, what happens then? It's a little bit murky. So he could have fought the decision, which would have been a disaster for us. So to Yoon's credit, he followed the system that we established.
So what happens? So what happens next?
The opposition, you know, they had a beef to grind or an axe to grind with Yoon in the first place. I mean, at every corner, they've been attacking him, his wife, his policies. They enjoy a majority number in parliament. They use that to openly try to impeach him. Now they think they have the popular support of the people to do that. I'm, as a citizen, just sad that, you know, the majority of people who just want to have a normal life will be affected by all of this, because it'll be political turmoil when we have other issues. Namely, economy to solve and the future to, you know, invest, and we're going to be unable to do any of that.
Do you expect the president to sort of look at the tea leaves and make a decision about possibly resigning? And as a follow on to that, whether he resigns or is impeached, you know, as two of the possibilities, if he does leave office, does he then face potential legal trouble for having declared martial law?
Yeah, not only martial law, but other issues. He will be investigated, I'm sure, as his family. And guys, let's just be honest. You're guilty until you can prove yourself innocent. So he's going to have a hard time. And then the Koreans have a tradition of putting their presidents in jail. So we'll see what happens.
So sounds like early elections.
Maybe not. A lot of people, at least 5%, agree with how Yoon viewed the situation, that the opposition is going too far, that they are the, you know, dictators and so forth. So at least 5, maybe 10% think that. So he still has that base We'll just have to see how it all plays out. Right now, the Koreans are really unhappy with what he did and a bit embarrassed by how all the events progressed. You know, if you're going to declare martial law, I mean, do it right instead of wishy-washy.
Let me just so Jim brought up elections. How does the South Korean system work if the president leaves office early for whatever reason? Is it more like in a parliamentary system where they do sort of call elections early, or is there a vice president more like the American system who would step in?
There's no vice president for us. They will declare a until a new president, prime minister will head the government, and we will have a grace period, election period for whoever candidates come out, will vote, and then he or she will come into office.
Well, General Chun, Jim, unless you have anything else, I want to let General Chun get back to his day. I know you've got very little sleep. It's been a really, again, extraordinary 24 hours. Hopefully, it will remain extraordinary in that sense, and you'll be able to get back to ordinary very soon. Since, as you mentioned, there are other fish to fry in South Korea. And so it'd be great to be able to see you get back to those. So thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, I just want to say that Korea, with President Yoon, who's been a great supporter of alliances, especially with Japan, this podcast is focused on the Indo-Pacific, and a weak Yoon administration is going to weaken the initiatives that Korea has been able to proceed with Japan. And hopefully Japan will now realize that time is limited and come together in making Northeast Asia a better place by putting aside the differences that we have.
Well, that would be extraordinary. And of course, Japan is no stranger to political instability, especially recently. So, again, thank you, General Chun. This has really been helpful. And I, thank you again for spending time with us.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, Jim. Well, wow. We've both worked in some interesting circumstances. Some of them have some resemblance to this. I mean, you've been a former chief of mission, obviously in a very stable place in Australia during our time there. Although, they had some parliamentary things that would happen, but there were no, nothing anything on the level of this. But you have been in places where there has been major political turmoil. What do you think the Ambassador Goldberg's life has been like the last 24 hours?
Yeah, our ambassador to Republic of Korea, Phil Goldberg, is a career diplomat. Was ambassador to the Philippines and Colombia, so he knows what difficult situations look like. But he didn't get a lot of sleep last night. By all accounts, the U.S. government was totally surprised. General Chun indicated that Yoon did not alert any U.S. government official, and that was confirmed by the White House today as well. So as we're trying to decide with our 30,000 troops, what's happening? It's a hairy situation. And also looking north about how the PRK is going to respond.
Right.
And I was in Korea, in Thailand during one of the coups there. And I can tell you, people on the street, the average soldier, they're just trying to figure out what's going on, who's in charge, which way do I look?
Right.
It's a very scary feeling of instability.
Yeah, I mean, so obviously as a former military officer, fortunate to live in times of relative peace. And is one reason why, when we looked at back at events like, for example, the January 6th, 2021 incident, fortunately, the U.S. military was not put in the situation where people had to sort of look left and right and try to figure out which side to take. And, we also have a very strong institutional ethic and ethos and sort of legal structure that I think helps us to make those kinds of decisions. Not every country has that. I very much remember the situation in the Philippines back in the late 80s, where there not only, of course, was there the People Power Revolution, but there were six different coup attempts against the first president Aquino. And we had Philippine soldiers on our military installation, and the coup attempts were by the military against the sitting president. And so, you know, whose orders would they follow was the key question. And so these things can get really, really hairy. And actually, you know, the fact that this was resolved so quickly and relatively peacefully, at least to date, is a real blessing in as the way these things can go.
It's a real credit, as we discussed, that the Korean military at the end upheld the law as they saw it. An order by the commander-in-chief was overridden by the parliament. They saluted and went home. So that's great. But, you know, this is an important ally. We have to continue to support while they go through this.
Yeah, and as General Chun mentioned, you know, authoritarian regimes love this stuff. This goes to prove their point that you don't want democracy. Democracy is chaos. Democracy is a mess. What you need is a good, strong authority to enforce the law. And as long as everybody knows the law, we will keep everyone in line and we won't have these kind of messes. And that's, you know, that very much feeds there. You know, he put it in propaganda terms, and we'll certainly see a lot of that, I'm sure, in the coming days as the North Koreans and the Chinese Communist Party and others sort of seek to leverage the situation. And so, I mean, it's a reminder to us that, you know, we live in a system of ordered liberty, right? So we ultimately our value is liberty, and yet there must be a certain order to it. And as our friend, I know that I just quoted this in a recent podcast, as the old Winston Churchill used to say, democracy is the worst form of government, except for everything else that's been tried.
Right. And without law, this is what you get. Without respect for the law, this is what you get. And frankly, January 6th was an example of what can happen if you don't have respect for the norms and the rule of law. So we shouldn't be too condescending towards what happened to Korea.
No. They have had just sort of giving them the benefit of the doubt, their democracy is actually very young in our terms. I mean, ours is a couple of centuries old. Theirs just really kind of started. And remember, you know, it wasn't very far into our democracy that we had to have a civil war to sort a bunch of things out. So yes, we should, you know, definitely, you know, they've actually come a remarkably long way in a very short period of time.
Right. I think maybe Yoon was surprised that it's not 1968 anymore. You don't get the soldiers doing coups anymore.
Right. Well, Jim, this is an emergency podcast, so we'll keep it brief. This has been really a very enlightening enlightening discussion. I do want to remind our listeners, if you're interested in General Chun, we haven't had a chance to have our guests back up until now, but this is a time when we did have a guest back. So he was the star of episode 34, where we talked about North Korea's military cooperation with Russia. So if you liked hearing from General Chun, you can go back and listen to episode 34. Of course, follow us on X at IndoPac Podcast or on YouTube at youtube.com/IP Podcast. Of course, if you're getting this on your feed, please give us a like or a subscribe. And thanks for joining us. And please join us for our next episode of Why Should We Care About the Indo-Pacific?